Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. What would you like to create in your life? Are you interested in having incredible health, or learning to trust your intuition, or finding a purpose in your life? These are things everyone would want, and Aware is committed to bringing you this information to assist you in creating a life you love. We invite you to share in this experience and become more aware.
Good afternoon and welcome to Aware. Hi, this is Lisa Garr. Good to have you with me this afternoon. So, do you have a lot of passion about a project or a hobby that you really love, but the only thing that's kind of preventing you from doing it is that you don't have enough money to do the project? Is it a constant obstacle in your life with maybe even your, you know, bills and making things go around type of issue? So we are set up in this culture here. We're kind of conditioned that we don't have enough money. Look at our state's deficit. Look at our national deficit. We're encouraged every day on every commercial to spend more and more and more, saying you don't have enough. You don't have enough. There can never be enough. Do you want more of this? It's a very interesting subject, and we're going to be talking about this today with a wonderful lady who's been with me on the Aware Show before. She lit up the phone lines with her perspectives on money. Lynn Twist is my guest. She is a global activist, a fundraiser. She's been responsible for raising maybe more than $150 million in individual contributions for charity. She is also the author of this great book called The Soul of Money. It's a book that explores the connection between money and fulfillment, and what that means to us individually. And she also goes through busting some money myths, what we're going to do right now on the air. Now, Lynn is in the car because she got stuck in traffic and there's freeway things going on out there. So she's on her way here in the studio, but she's going to be joining us from the car for the first part of the interview. But she's still live and in person. Hi, Lynn. How are you? Oh, that's the one thing I didn't want to happen was the digital cell phone breakup. Okay, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Thanks.
Okay, well, I'm here, and I'm delighted to be on your show, and hope that everybody can hear me okay as I wend my way towards the studio.
Yes, and we're just going to kind of clear the energy between you and here so that we can continue to hear you on your cell phone right now.
All right.
So, one good thing. So, you are in town talking about this specific book, and you have, you know, you were here before on the show, and it was a really, really great connection that we had when you guys talked to the listeners about money, and it was during our fundraiser, and I think we raised like $8,000 in an hour because you have such a great grasp on the whole concept of money.
Oh, that's so great. I didn't know that.
Right? We did really, really well. So, but what you were saying was this concept of, sometimes when we look at money, it's something that we feel like we have to hoard or we have to get or we don't have enough of, and the idea of giving it away is challenging when we don't think we have enough of it in our by ourselves, right?
Right, exactly.
So what is it that you say in terms of giving and receiving money being the same thing?
Well, one of the things that you can do to kind of illustrate this is look down at your own hand and open it up so that it's wide open. And if you do that, you'll see that that's the posture of the hand that both gives and the posture of the hand that receives. And when you start to cling or close those little fingers around money or power or anything, your hand turns into a kind of a little fist.
Yes.
And I suggest that people realize that that metaphor of the hand is possible in their entire life. If we are people who are willing to give, we'll be willing to receive. And if we keep an open heart, money will flow to us and through us in a way that will nourish us and then go on to nourish the world if we send it towards our highest commitments. And that's what I recommend to people. We live in a consumer culture that doesn't tell us to do that. It tells us to hold on to money, to grip it tight, to make sure that we don't ever let it go, to make sure that we don't ever lose it. And we do that in a way that is is kind of closes down our soul, closes down our heart, and has us not really enjoy and understand the great flow of life, because money does flow through everybody's life. For some people, it's a huge rushing river. For other people, it's a small trickle. But no matter who has it and no matter who is experiencing it, money is a part of everybody's life. And if we let it flow through us and towards our highest commitments, it comes back to us many fold.
I was talking to a friend of mine actually the other day about he's trying to establish a career for himself and so forth, and he wants to live like his friends, where they've got the fancy cars and he wants to buy a house and so forth. And I was explaining to him, you know, it's the same game, just a different level. If there's still a lot of responsibility that come with the house and the cars, and there's still a lot of work and there's issues and, you know, there's taxes, it's not necessarily going to be any easier if you have all these things. It's a very big misconception that having a lot of money is going to make your life easier.
Well, that you're completely right, and that was good advice that you gave him, because we live in a culture that tells us in so many subliminal and then overt messages that everything will clear up if we have more money. But if you look at the people that you know and love that have an expanded amount of resources, it doesn't clear up. They're just as upset and anxious and nervous about money as those of us who have less. And it does ease some of the worries for a while, but then you start acquiring more than you need again, and suddenly you don't have enough. The doorway to more is actually a doorway that leads you to the next experience of lack or deficit or wanting what you don't have. And I always feel that that is the message that comes from advertising and marketing, telling us that we're not enough, we don't have enough, we need to acquire this, that, and the other thing. And so you start getting a sense of deficit or dissatisfaction with what you already have, thinking that the answer is always through this doorway of more. But when you go through the doorway of more, what you end up with is a new experience of lack and deficit, and something else then seems like it'll be the thing that'll resolve everything. And it's an endless game. It doesn't have an end. It doesn't have satisfaction anywhere in there. It's really based on deficit or the fear of scarcity, that there's just not enough to go around, and we've just got to keep accumulating to keep ourselves as far away as possible from being one of the people who gets left out. And it's a fallacy. It's a hamster wheel. It doesn't really end up taking you anywhere.
It's weird, though, because our state is doing that. Our nation is doing that. So where is our model of how not to do that, of how to do it any other way, I should say?
Well, unfortunately, there aren't very many. Hopefully, I'm endeavoring to be one of those kind of models, as you are, Lisa. And I'm sure there are people that are listening to this program who do model what I call sufficiency. But we're in the biggest deficit in the history of the world in this nation. No nation has ever seen anything close to the deficit we have in the United States. All of us living in California know that this state is hopelessly in debt. Most cities are in debt. Most communities are in debt, and now most families are in debt. And it's almost like a way of life in America. Credit card debt, average credit card debt in the United States per person over 16 is $8,000 a person. So we live in a deficit society that tells us there's not enough to go around and we have to keep accumulating. And what that gives us is a sense of lack in the end. And a deficit society in many ways is an accurate reflection of a culture that does not give any credence or value to our inner riches, only value to outer riches. And no matter how many outer riches you accumulate, ultimately where the real satisfaction, prosperity, and fulfillment lives is in a completely different realm, and that is in the inner riches, the riches that are within who we are. So a consumer culture like the one we live in is not friendly to people who want to live in the context and the clearing of enough, or what I call living a life of sufficiency.
It's an interesting phrase just ran across my mind that I had heard someone, one of my teachers, say at one point. And just listen to this phrase, and I'm inviting the listeners to see how it feels in their body when I say this. I have everything I need right now. I don't need any more money. I don't need any more happiness. I have everything right now. How much does that just light you up? and just freak you out, because it does me. Instantly, my brain goes, no, I don't have enough this because I couldn't even be doing that. And if I had enough money, then I wouldn't have to work and I could be home with my baby, blah, 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 blah. You know,
right,
the tapes just go. And it that is not an okay phrase to me. And I don't know if it's societal or if it's familial. I don't know. What is that?
I think it's cultural, and I think it's very, very deeply cultural, so that nobody can really escape it.